Morning.
Oh, I want to start off by wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Hope this is a great week for everyone this week. For those of you who are visiting with us today, or for those of you who are tuning in for the first time online, right now we're in the middle of a series on healing. In week number one, we talked about healing from grief, and we talked about Job, and we looked at his life and a lot of the grief that he went through. And then last week, we talked about healing from loneliness. We talked about Paul and how Paul was in a prison cell, and he often felt like he was deserted. And so there were times when he struggled with these feelings of loneliness. But today, we're going to be talking about healing from depression. Depression is one of those things that I think all of us deal with at some point in our life. In fact, some of you may be dealing with depression right now as we speak. You may be thinking, man, there is no better time, Slate, for you, to be preaching and teaching on this subject, because this is what I'm dealing with right now. And here's the deal, you're not the only one. In fact, studies show that over 19 million Americans deal with depression. 264 million suffer from depression worldwide. And so don't feel like you're the only one. There are a lot of people every day that deal with depression, and there are several reasons why. It may be health problems. It may be marriage problems. It may be problems at work. It may be that you've lost a loved one. I think about David in Psalm chapter 42. He talks about some of the reasons why he was depressed. First of all, he felt like God was far away from him in his time of need. You ever felt like that before? You ever been going through something and it's just like, man, God, where are you? Have you just totally abandoned me? And that's kind of how David felt at times. And because of that, he got kind of down and depressed. Psalm 42, verse 9, look at what he says. He says, "Oh God, my rock," he says, "I cry out, why have you," what, church? "Why have you forsaken me?" And so that's how David was feeling. You know, God's not really with me right now. God, where are you? I think another reason why David struggled with depression was because he missed the good old days. Look at Psalm 42 again and just notice what he says in verse 4. He says, "My heart is breaking as I remember how it," what, church? Say it out loud. "How it used to be." Man, that can be depressing, right? I think more so as we get older when things begin to change. And I think that's why right now, a lot of people, with all the coronavirus going on and a lot of changes that have been made, I think this is one of the reasons why depression is on the increase. It's because there's a lot of change taking place. And this is what David was going through. He says, things aren't as they used to be. He says, "I remember how I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks. It was the sound of a great celebration." In other words, David, he says, man, I miss those days of being with God's people and being in God's house and praising God in worship. I miss the good old days. And sometimes we think back to the way things used to be and how things had changed, and not necessarily for the good. And it can get depressing. But I think another reason why David was depressed is because of the discouragement he was receiving from others. Maybe some of you are dealing with that right now. Maybe you're dealing with it from people at work. Maybe it's someone within your family who's been really saying some things that's been discouraging to you. But I think about David and what he was going through. In Psalm 42, verse 3, he says, "My enemies constantly," what, church, "taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours?" And he goes on to say the same thing in verses 9 and 10. He says, why must I wander in darkness, oppressed by my enemies? Their what? Their taunts pierce me like a what? Like a fatal wound. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Now, we've already looked at the fact that David was depressed because he felt like God was so far from him in his time of need. And now you have these people who are coming along beside David, and they're just throwing fuel on the fire by saying, hey, where's this God of yours? And they were taunting him. And he became very depressed. In fact, if you look at verse 3, he talks about how he lost his appetite and how he constantly cries. And both of those things are surefire signs of depression. Which really leads us to this question this morning: what exactly is depression? Well, depression is an intense feeling of helplessness and hopelessness that leads to sadness. And if you can take out a piece of paper and write that down, that'd be awesome. I apologize. I did an outline for today, and my daughter just came up to me, and she says, where's the outline? And I'm like, I forgot to print it out. So I apologize for that. So you guys are just going to have to take out a piece of paper and do your best to keep up this morning. But this is very important. Depression is an intense feeling of helplessness and hopelessness that leads to sadness. Now, here's something that you need to understand about depression. And we mentioned this with loneliness as well. Depression is not a sin. Okay, now, some sins can lead to depression, but depression in and of itself is not a sin. But it needs to be dealt with so that we don't give up on God and life and others. And so for our lesson today, we're going to talk about how we can do that, how we can deal with depression, how we can overcome depression in our lives. But first of all, before we really get into the heart of our lesson, I do want to say this. There are different kinds of depression. We're going to be talking about today situational depression. And situational depression is depression that may last for a couple of days. But there's also something called chronic depression. And this is a depression that goes beyond a couple of days, and it can get into months and even years. And if that's where you're at, if you've been depressed for more than a couple of days or a couple of weeks, I would encourage you to go to a doctor, go to a counselor. There's nothing wrong with that. So that you can seek some help. It may even be that you need to be on some medication, and there's nothing wrong with that as well. But what we're talking about today is something that can be very, very serious. And it's something that a lot of people deal with. In fact, as we said just a few minutes ago in our first lesson, we talked about Job and his grief. In our second lesson, we talked about Paul and his loneliness. And today, we're going to be looking at Elijah and his depression. And that may shock some of you. You may be like, you mean to tell me that Elijah got depressed? And the reason that can be shocking for us is because we've heard the stories. From the time we were little, growing up, we've heard all these stories about Elijah and how God did amazing things through him. I mean, he was this amazing man of God who had an absolutely amazing faith. But yet, he went through a period where he was depressed, which really leads us to this point. Even some of the most spiritual, awesome, godly people that we know can deal with depression. Okay, just because you're down or just because you're experiencing depression right now, it doesn't mean that you're not a spiritual person. It doesn't mean that you don't love God. No, even the most awesome spiritual people have times when they get down and they get depressed. And that's what we're going to see today. And so if you got your Bibles, you can look at 1 Kings chapter 18. I don't have time to read all of 1 Kings chapter 18 to you, but this is a story that I'm sure probably most of you are very familiar with. This is where Elijah goes to the 450 false prophets of Baal, and he challenges them to a God contest. Right? He challenges them to a contest to decide once and for all what God is the one true God. And so Elijah comes to them and he says, look, you guys build an altar and put a sacrifice on it, and I'll build an altar and put a sacrifice on it, and then we'll both call out to our gods, and the God that sends fire down from heaven is the one true God. And I'm sure most of you know the story. Remember the 450 prophets of Baal, they're calling out to their guide, Baal, and they get to the point where they're even cutting themselves, and Baal does absolutely nothing. And then you have Jehovah God, who, when Elijah starts to call out to him, Jehovah God sends fire down from heaven and not only destroys the sacrifice, but also destroys and consumes the altar as well. And it's just this amazing story, of which really I didn't do any justice to. So if you've never heard that story, I want to encourage you to go back and read it, maybe read it as a family in 1 Kings chapter 18. But if we were to end Elijah's story right there, I think most of us would be like, you know, I just can't identify with Elijah. I mean, I just can't connect with Elijah. He's up here and I'm down here. And then we get into the New Testament. And if you remember, Jesus had a half-brother by the name of James. And James reminds us of something in James chapter 5, verse 17. This is what he says. Elijah was human, what, church? Just like us. Isn't that awesome? I love that. Elijah was human just like you and me. And as we get into God's Word and we look at all these great men and women of Scripture, what we're going to see, and God makes this very clear, is all their good side, but also God is going to give us very detailed events and circumstances of their weak side, their bad side as well. In other words, God gets very detailed about their warts too, and I love that, because it makes them more relatable. In other words, Elijah's not up here and we're down here. Elijah is just like us. And he's like us in the fact that, well, Elijah went through this bout with depression. He had a phenomenal faith. There's no denying that. But there was a time in his life where he went through a phenomenal funk as well. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. And here's the crazy part. This is all going to happen after this amazing event that took place on Mount Carmel that I just told you about, right? Which really, I think we could make this point from that, and that is, many times that can happen in our lives where we have this amazing event happen in our lives, some sort of spiritual happening in our lives, something great takes place in our lives, and then following that, we're tempted to slide into these feelings of hopelessness and helplessness that leads to intense sadness. And so look at 1 Kings chapter 19. And again, this comes off of 1 Kings chapter 18, this amazing story where, I mean, God absolutely destroys Baal. right? I mean, there's this firefight and God dominates Baal. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, this is how it begins. Jezebel, King Ahab's wife, she is fuming. She is angry. And the reason that she's fuming and angry is because of how her false gods were bashed by Elijah. And how her prophets were killed by Elijah. And so in her anger, she sends word to Elijah saying in verse 2, "May the gods kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you. I've failed to kill you." Now think about this. Here's Elijah. And again, he's just come off this amazing miraculous event where God has sent fire down from heaven and the 450 prophets of Baal have been killed, and now one woman by the name of Jezebel threatens him. And guess what Elijah does? He runs like a scared dog. In fact, the Bible says that he ran as far as Beersheba. Now, let's stop right here because I want us to notice what the Bible points out about Elijah here in this text. And really, this is the first stage of depression. Really, this is where it all begins, and that is exaggeration. Maybe we're coming off this spiritual high, we're coming off this victory, we're coming off of this mountaintop experience, and everything is going great. And then we go down into this valley where we begin to exaggerate. And that was Elijah, and I believe he did that in part because he was worn out. He was tired physically. And sometimes we can become tired physically. We can just overdo it physically, and that can drive us to depression as well. I mean, you look at Elijah, he's preached before tons of people. He stood up against the 450 prophets of Baal. Right after that, we see him basically running a 30-mile marathon ahead of Ahab's chariot to Jezreel in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46. And so Elijah is physically, emotionally, and even spiritually spent. He's down, and so he begins to exaggerate. He begins to say, "She's out to get me. The whole world is out to get me. And in fact, I'm the only one left." Look at verse 10. He says, "They've torn down your idols." He's talking to God. And killed every one of your prophets. Well, that's not true. As we're going to see in verse 19, there were 7,000 that were left that had not bowed the knee to Baal. He says, I alone am left. And now they're trying to kill me too. How many of you can relate to that? How many of you have ever said, "I'm the only one"? I'm the only parent who's ever dealt with something like this. I'm the only minister who's ever gone through something like this. I'm the only one who has a boss like this. I'm the only teenager who has these types of problems. And if we're not careful, we can begin to believe those feelings. Feelings are really good. Feelings are awesome. But here's what we need to understand about our feelings. Our feelings can be deceitful. Jeremiah 17, verse 19, it says the heart, and remember, this is where our feelings come from. The heart is what, church? Is deceitful above all things. What if this week I said, "You know what? I just don't feel like preaching." Or what if I just said today, I just don't feel like preaching this morning. So, man, I just walk and I just go out the side door. So if y'all would stand applause. Or what if I just said, "You know what? I don't feel like being married to my wife anymore." You see, here's the deal. something we have to think about. Would we live that way? I mean, what if we just went with our feelings on everything that we felt? Listen, if we want to bust through our depression, we've got to get our focus off of our feelings, and we've got to concentrate on the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, that the truth will what? It will set you free. And it will set you free during times of depression, because it's our commitment to truth. When our feelings are going up and down like a roller coaster, that will help us to keep from wallowing in depression. Because here's the thing, Satan is a liar and he will lie to you. Understand that. Jesus says that our enemy, the devil, is a liar, he is a deceiver, and one of the ways he will lie to you and one of the ways he will try and deceive you is through your feelings. And so we don't need to focus on our feelings, we need to focus and we need to concentrate on the truth, and that will help us to stay committed. You see, we can control our commitments, but we can't control our feelings. Well, Elijah was having a tough time with his feelings, and he began to exaggerate stuff. And we can be tempted to do the same, right? Where everybody's saying this, nobody likes this. What did they mean by that text? Or what did they mean by that look? And we can become upset and depressed as we make things bigger than they really are. Exaggeration, that's one stage. Here's another. And we also see this with Elijah. Watch him do it. Isolation. In other words, Elijah pulls away from others. We talked about how he ran to Jezreel. Then, watch this, he goes to Beersheba. Verses 3 through 4, Elijah was afraid. He fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his what? His servant there. Then he went on what? Alone into the desert, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. Notice what Elijah does. He drops off his servant. And then he goes a day's hike alone into the desert. And the Bible says while he was out in the desert, he found a broom tree. And he sat down under it. And I don't know if you know anything about a broom tree, but they don't give very much shade. And they're pretty much just room for one. And so Elijah isolates himself. He's under this broom tree. He's really tired and depressed because of all the people that he's been trying to help and minister to, and because of all these threats that he was receiving from Queen Jezebel. You see, cannibals aren't the only ones who get fed up with people. Some of y'all get that later. But anyway, Elijah decides he's fed up. And so he withdraws from others. And he even gets to the point to where he actually prays that God would take his life. And that's depression. And then as you keep reading, verse 4, notice what it says. This is Elijah speaking. He says, I've had enough, Lord. He says, take my life, for I am what? I am no better than my ancestors. And it's like, Elijah, when did you start comparing yourself to your ancestors? But let me ask you this morning, have you ever compared yourself to others? Listen, if you want to get depressed, just start comparing yourself with those around you. man, look how skinny he is. And look at his house and look at their car. And man, he's such an amazing husband, much better than I am. And she's such an amazing mom, much better than I am. Listen to me this morning. It's unfair to compare. In fact, let me add this. Whenever we compare ourselves to others, we're making a mockery of God's creative genius. Right? God created you. There is no one like you. And here's the deal. God doesn't make mistakes. Or as we like to say in Hamilton, Alabama, God don't make no junk. But anyway, here's Elijah, and God didn't lead him to this broom tree. He went there himself. He didn't lead him away from his servant and away from community. He did that himself. And then watch what happens. Look at verses 5 through 9. Then he lay down and he slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he what, church? And he laid down again. Which, by the way, this is a sign of depression. Okay, we've been talking about different signs of depression as we've gone through this lesson, whether it's a loss of appetite or whether it's being weepy. But here's another sign of depression is wanting to sleep all the time. Dr. Timothy Leff says depression often comes with a lack of energy and an overwhelming feeling of fatigue that can lead to excessive sleeping. And that was Elijah. He gets to this broom tree and he sleeps. And then he wakes up and he eats and he sleeps some more. And then it says the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up, eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank. And the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he what? Where he spent the night, where he slept some more. I love this passage because we can see that, man, Elijah is struggling. He's under this tree and he's sleeping and he's asking God, "God, please just take my life." And I love what God does here. He ministers to him. And let me tell you, he'll minister to you. He sends an angel. And he says, "Look, get up and eat." And he makes some bread, which to me that says that bread isn't bad for you. I love bread. Those of you who question carbs, listen, it's scriptural. But he eats some bread and he has something to drink. And then he lays back down and God gets him up again and he gives him more food and more water. And then he makes this journey. In other words, he's doing better physically. He's getting stronger physically. But he's still struggling emotionally and he's still struggling spiritually because after he gets to Mount Sinai, we see that he goes into this cave and once again, he's asleep. And so there's exaggeration where we make things bigger than they are. There's isolation where we get away from people who can minister to us and who can help us. And then finally, something else we see is victimization. Look at verse 10. He says, "The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." And here's what I love about this. God allows Elijah just to pour out his heart. I love that. Elijah says, God, this is how I feel. And let me say right here, this is something that I feel like is really important, and it's really good to do. Share your emotions and share your feelings with God. Listen, when you're struggling with something, when your heart's broken, when you're grieving, when you have those times where you're dealing with loneliness, man, go to God and just share those things with Him. Now think about David. Man, David really struggled with depression, as we saw in Psalm chapter 42. And he did the same thing. He made time to go before God, and he did this quite often. He says, God, he says, I'm depressed. I'm struggling with this. God, have you forsaken me? And it's good to do that because God can take it. Trust me, God's big enough to deal with your problems. And here's the thing, He already knows your feelings. He already knows what you're going through. It's not like you're going to come before God and pour out your heart before Him, and He's going to be like, wow, man, I had no idea you were going through that. God already knows what you're going through. Go to Him and just pour out your heart to Him. Share your emotions. Share your feelings with Him. Elijah pours out his heart. And the first thing that he says is, the Israelites have rejected your covenant. And it's as if Elijah is taking all of Israel on the weight of his shoulders. Right? I mean, it's like he feels responsible for all of Israel. And let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been guilty of that? You ever taken the weight and the responsibility of your kids, of your spouse, of your coworkers, or maybe a brother and sister in Christ on your shoulders? I'm responsible for their decisions. I'm responsible for the things that have happened and the things that have been done. And that was Elijah. He took all of that upon himself. And when we do that, Elijah will just intensify his depression. I love verses 11 through 13 of our text. Notice what it says. Go out. This is God speaking now. And stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. And it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave, and a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And then you pick up in verse 15 and notice, then the Lord told him, "Go back the way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram, then anoint Jehu to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have not bowed before Baal or kissed him." So Elijah went and he found Elisha. I love this because I want you to notice what God tells Elijah to do. He's deep in this depression. And this is what God says. He says, "Get up and get out of this cave." And I think that's one of the things that can be really challenging us when we are down and when we are depressed is we want to withdraw, we want to isolate ourselves, and we may want to stay inside the house, and maybe we want to turn on some soap opera music, or maybe we want to turn on some sad country music, which, by the way, did you know that if you play country songs backwards, you get your wife back, you get your dog back, you get your truck back? Did y'all realize all that? I know, it's terrible. God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing in this cave? Get up. And get out. No more isolation. Go do something. And when we're depressed, we may want to pull back from life, or we may want to give up on our responsibilities, but we can't. Dr. Cook, a psychiatrist and director of the Depression Research and Clinical Program at UCLA, says staying involved can help counter depression. For example, exercise. It temporarily boosts feel-good chemicals called endorphins. Regular exercise seems to encourage the brain to rewire itself in positive ways. Cook also says try something new or do something fun, something that you enjoy, even though you may not want to do it because of your depression. Get out, he says, and do those things, and it will help. Also, find someone to serve, because when we get our focus off of ourselves and onto God and onto others, it's amazing how God will pull us out of that funk and will actually bring joy to our lives. Dr. Carl Menninger was once asked, what's the number one cure for depression? And everybody thought that he would say, meet with a psychiatrist twice a week, or take a certain drug. But this is what he said. The cure for depression, he said, get out of your house, lock the door, and find someone in need and help them. That sounds biblical, doesn't it? Don't keep napping under the broom tree. It's good to get rest. The body needs that rest, but don't just lay there exaggerating about your situation. Get up and serve God and serve others. And that will help. Let me share a couple of other things very quickly as we close out that I think will help, that we see David doing. Look back at Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As a deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and stand before Him? Notice what David did. David had a deep longing for God. And some of you may say, well, why is that so important? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, our power and our what, church? And our success comes from Him. If we want the strength and the power, if we want to have success over our depression, then listen, we need to draw near to God. In fact, look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. As we draw near to God, as we have a relationship with God, as we live for Him, He gives us His Holy Spirit, and His Spirit produces this within us. Love what? Joy. How many of you want joy in your life? Well, that's good. One person. Thank you, Jamie. Peace. How many of you would like some peace right now? Thank you. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, this is what God produces within us. And so we want to draw near to God. We want to hunger and thirst for God. Because as we do, we will say no to the flesh, and we will say yes to the Spirit. But then something else that David did was David prayed. David definitely believed in prayer. He called out to God. I love this passage, Psalm 69 verses 1 through 3, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. You ever felt like that? You're just surrounded by so many things that are just weighing you down, and it's just like, man, I'm drowning, God. And he says, I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods have engulfed me. And some of you know exactly what this is like. And he begins his prayer by saying, God, save me. And I'm here to tell you, God can rescue you. He can save you, even from depression. Call out to him. Talk to him about it. He can heal you. Psalm chapter 147, verse 3, he heals the what, church? The brokenhearted, and he bandages their wounds. In Psalm 40, verses 2 through 3, notice what David says. He lifted me out of the pit of what? Out of despair. He's talking about God. Out of the mud and the mire, he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. As God works on us, as God changes us and heals us, as we come through these things that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, let me tell you something, not only will it affect your life, it will affect the lives of others as they see what God does in you and me. I want to lead us in a prayer. There may be someone here this morning who is not a Christian. I'd love to tell you more about Jesus. I'd love to tell you how through the blood of Jesus, all your sins can be completely washed away. And so please get with me. And some of you have asked, you know, the way you do the invitation now, are people coming to you? Are they coming to the elders? Yes, we've had more baptisms, you can look at the board out here, than we ever have. People are coming to me. People are talking to me. Also, people are messaging me about some of the things that they're struggling with. And so if you're struggling with something, listen, I would love to talk to you. I would love to pray for you. The elders would love to pray with you. But right now, I want to pray over our congregation and over all those who are watching online. Father, we just come before you. And Father, I just want to lift all those up who are here today and those who are watching online and Father, those all over the world. Father, I just pray that you will give us joy, give us peace, even in turbulent times like we're in right now, where so many things have changed, where people are hurting and their hearts are broken. And Father, there are just so many things going on right now that really have people down. And so, Father, I'm just wanting to lift them up. And Father, I pray that you'll bring healing to our world as only you can. Father, help us to look to you. Help us to know and always remember that through you, our wounds can be healed. Father, we thank you for Jesus, because it's through Jesus our sins can be completely forgiven. And oftentimes that's just another reason that we're depressed and we're hurting, because of the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment we feel of past mistakes. But you even heal us of our sins. And so, Father, we look to you, and we just want to thank you for all you do in our lives, for the healing that you bring. And, Father, we just pray that that will be a testimony and a witness to the world for you. Father, we are about to partake of the Lord's Supper. Father, help us to try and remove
some of those things that we're dealing with right now and help us to focus on Jesus, on the sacrifice that was made for our behalf. And Father, we just pray this prayer in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.